WWIB, your Christmas station. Great to have you aboard. The instrumental offerings of Lori Lyne, the little drummer boy, WWIB. I don't know, you know, I think Jason Cairns, good morning. Best 5 minutes of the day. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
You know, they don't talk about anybody else's size except the little drummer boy gets called, you know, gets identified by his, you know, lack of height.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least you got a song written about him. That's a good thing.
That is. And lots of renditions of it.
That's true.
I heard Michelle, Mid-Mornings with Michelle Johnson saying yesterday, some Christmas song. She's like, oh, we have 30 of that. I'm like, oh, no. The most we have is Oh Holy Night. That's just like right, 50 sure. or more. Yeah.
I probably mentioned this before, but I've thought about doing a playlist of just versions of Oh Holy Night.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
because it's my favorite Christmas song by far.
Yeah.
And it'd be fun to just have different versions of that and because there's such a variation in how people approach it.
Right. I think another good one I've played once already this year, Casting Crowns does, The Peace on Earth, Goodwill to Men. I'm trying to think, what is this?
Oh, yeah.
What's the name of that?
I can't think of what it is right now either, but as soon as you said that version, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. So it's kind of a little bit lesser known. Oh, it'll come to me once I look. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. There it is.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
Okay, well, you sound healthier today.
I feel a little healthier. I'm actually still on quarantine from work because mm-hmm. I still have some symptoms, so I don't get to go back until Friday, which is challenging, but it is what it is, I guess.
You know, yeah. And sometimes when a sickness can, I mean, we've talked about the difficult spiritual discipline of solitude and silence, and you're probably not completely alone, but more silent than if you're at the workplace. So
right. How's
that working with you? I mean, I imagine hopefully there's some good benefits of that.
There is. You know, I think there's something about the peaceful nature of that, but I recognize, you know, I've gone back and forth as to whether I'm more introverted or extroverted, and it's a good reminder that there's definitely still an extroverted part of me, because I missed our Saturday breakfast, and I missed seeing my colleagues at work, and so it's a good reminder that I'm grateful to be able to get out of the house on a daily basis.
Sure. I mean, you and the animals are getting closer, though.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, absolutely. Living in the zoo has been good, I guess.
Hmm. I was listening to a message from our friend Larry Crabb last night. It was called From Relational Poverty to Relational Wealth, and it was on Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, so that was good to listen to.
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of those voices for me that just is so soothing. As soon as I hear him talk, he puts me at ease. Mm-hmm. I think partly knowing the man, and I think it's just something. And Heather has said the same thing about 66 Love Letters. Just to listen to him talk has been a gift.
I hear you. As for me, I started out, I was kind of doing some work related to the station, some news archiving I have to do. And I was like, I tried this preacher, that preacher. And I'm like, no, that was the sweet spot there. So,
all
right. Well, we have finished a lot of scripture this year. We've done the Sermon on the Mount. We did Colossians. We have done Romans 5 through 8 and Romans 12. And so since it's Christmas, what do you think about Luke 2?
Sure, we can do that. Absolutely.
All right.
I'm going to see if I can find Luke 2 in my Bible.
And actually, the way you group it together in Letters to the Beloved is verses 1 through 5, so that may be a lot, but...
Do you want me to tackle that? I can do that.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, it says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant.
All right, that's verse 5?
Yeah, that's right. Through verse 5.
All right, in Jason's devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved, which you can still order and probably receive in time for Christmas, either yes. you or to give as a gift, we refer you to Amazon. So here we go, Luke 2. All of these events happen in real places and in real time. The Christmas story is no mere fairy tale, but true truth. There's a Francis Schaeffer line, I think. Luke carefully researched the good news, writing a detailed account, giving enough information that those who wanted to verify it for themselves would be able to do so. The Christmas story took place when the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus sent out a mandate that the Roman Empire should count every person. It happened around the time of Quirinius's governorship of Syria. Rome required every person to go to the town of their family's origin. So Joseph needed to travel from Nazareth in Galilee, where he lived, to Bethlehem in Judea, the city of David. Because Joseph traced his lineage to David, the census required him to register there. I continue. The trip involved a 90-mile walk, a challenging journey in the best of conditions, but Mary was also pregnant, adding to their difficulty. Her pregnancy did not excuse them from the registration requirements, so they went, yet this was also fulfilling prophecy. The prophet Micah wrote, and I'll finish with this, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Thoughts? Because I've got one after you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for me, the kind of getting into the map of Bethlehem was really interesting to think about how far they needed to travel.
I really like that line that starts your third paragraph here. The trip involved a 90-mile walk, a challenging journey in the best of conditions, but Mary was also pregnant, adding to their difficulty. That was really helpful. I mean, I think that adds quite a bit.
Right. Yeah, when you begin to think about, you know, they're not just walking from Eau Claire to Chippewa.
You know?
I mean, it's significant, and it was a definite burden on them to have to do that.
Interesting. Good stuff, Jason. Continue to get better. We'll talk to you tomorrow. WWIB, well, over the last week plus, where it fits here on WWIB, right in this time range, we've been hearing from Elisa Morgan, talking about her new book, Christmas Changes Everything, How the Birth of Jesus Brings Hope to the World. She talks about the 9 different characters of the Christmas story in Scripture, like Mary and Joseph and Zechariah. I think those are the ones we've covered. There's obviously some others to get to, and we cover those as we continue on here. Elizabeth's story is rejoice.
She's a barren woman, and that's not cool in the first century, nor was it cool in any time in the Old Testament. She was a disgraced, childless woman who wondered about her worth, and Christmas changed her to a rejoicing mother who saw God's favor absolutely fulfilled in her life.
Next up in your wonderful new book, Elisa Morgan, the shepherd's story, you go with the word share.
Yes. Okay, so they really are the first evangelist of the baby Jesus, if you will, that they're out on the fields watching. They're very low, watching lambs. They're very lowly workers in the kingdom of rank, you know, in the caste system and in New Testament culture. And they go from watching lambs to being called to the manger, to, you know, the sight of the Christ child, and they worship the Lamb of God. And then we're told in Scripture that they go out and share the good news of his arrival. So, like the first evangelists.
A few more from Elisa Morgan's new book as we move on. These characters of the Christmas story, Simeon's story, the word you choose is wait.
Right. He's an example of waiting his whole lifetime, his entire lifetime to see the Christ child. And he's a very, very, very old man. And when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus as a child, a little bit older child, not a newborn, to the temple to make their first sacrifice, he's there. And he goes from this waiting man to a really fulfilled follower. And next up is Anna, who is a prophetess. And she was either, she was like 84 years old, and she was either like a widow or that lived in the temple or was provided for by her family in the temple. But she spent her whole life after her husband died just worshiping in the temple. And it's stunning, and that's the word I use for her is worship. It's stunning that God would allow her to meet the object of her worship in such a way, even when she was old. And then we look at the Magi, and the word for them is seek. And you just kind of alluded to this. You know, we spend a lot of time seeking truth and the enemy wants to hide it from us. Well, they ran smack dab into that because if they were seeking a star and the source of its light, Herod tried to dissuade them into actually, well, he wanted to trick them into telling where the child was so he could go and kill the child. And they discover this, the source of the light they were looking for when they find Jesus is the truth, the light of the world. And so they went back another way. And Herod himself is the last character in the story. He had the opportunity for Christmas to truly change his life by learning, and he didn't. And it breaks our hearts that he was kind of a crazy guy. I'm just going to be straight up. He was all about himself, a little narcissistic and basically deranged, had already killed several family members. And when he finds out that there is going to be a baby king born, he's so threatened that he wants all of the newborn males to be killed. And he ended up killing around 20 baby boys, which is just horrific. And he dies as a matter of it. But Christmas could have changed even him, because the joy and the miracle of Christmas is that it can change all of us.
And then you do continue on and personalize it for your reader and say, our stories, the word is welcome.
Yes. You know how we decorate our houses for Christmas. And I can remember one year, my grandson and my husband were outside putting up the snowman. They had, you know, daddy snowman, mommy snowman, and baby snowman, and putting it all up. And I was decorating the front door, and I laid out this welcome mat, kind of a Christmas welcome mat. And I thought, that is a perfect word for Christmas. And since then, I've read in scripture, like in chapter 9 of the book of Mark, where Jesus says, let all of you welcome little children. If you don't welcome them, you know, you won't be welcomed. And when you welcome them, you welcome the one who sent me. And I thought, you know, that word welcome, as I studied it, really means to receive as a guest. It's like has to do with hospitality. And if we take it a little bit further, if we welcome Jesus in the Christmas season as a guest in our hearts and get to know him, you know, the next step is to welcome him to make his home in our hearts. So that's the word for me and you and all of us this Christmas.
Very good. And why the afterword that Christmas isn't over?
Well, we box up Christmas and think, okay, it goes in the attic or the basement or under the stairs or wherever. But the reality is that the message of Christmas, the relationship of God's love for us, is year-round, year after year, and all the way into eternity.
Hmm. And so I'm going to turn it on you, Alisa Morgan, because as a longtime Christian radio guy, I was first introduced to you you were the voice of this show we had in the middle of the night called Considerations that came out of Denver Seminary. And then in yep. later years, yep. Heading up MOPS International, and mm-hmm. I've heard you, other interviews, Focus on the Family. And even as I talk to you mm-hmm. today and see this new book, the word that comes to mind for me on you is solid. I just think of you as solid, just have always just like a thorough and well thought out and articulate. And so that's my return for you.
Gosh, thank you, Mark. That's awesome. I'll give you one too. How about grateful? I am grateful for you and other servants like you who give so much to help everybody listening know they're not alone, whether it's the middle of the night or the, you know, 12 noon. It's Christian radio is such a blessing to so many people. So thank you for what you're doing.
Our thanks to Alisa Morgan for chatting with us, unpacking the interview over several installments, wrapping up today on her book, Christmas Changes Everything, How the Birth of Jesus Brings Hope to the World. All right. I've got the box of 12 names here. Thank you so much. These folks have partnered with us at WIB Incorporated with a suggested gift of 103.70 or greater, giving online or in person or mailing it to 2396 Halley Road. And so let's find out as we 12 names. And so we'll get the drum roll going here. And somebody is going to be the 10th name in our 12 Days of Bundles, day 4. And it is Mary in Menominee. There you go. Congratulations, Mary. Your name was drawn. We'll get a hold of you and give you your choice of those bundles. Access that at WIB.com. Click on the banner to see all the different bundle choices. All right, well, you mentioned Giannis in sports. He's 28 today. MVP week here in Wisconsin. Aaron Rodgers, Christian Yelich with birthdays already this week. And so Giannis, some jokes from him. Let's give this one a go.
Why did the bicycle could not stand on its own?
Why could the bicycle not stand on its own? Let's find out, Caleb.
Was too tired.
Too tired. There we go. Giannis, there it is. All right, delivering.
Oh, man. I found a video one time of him just sitting in his kitchen and his wife. You can hear her rolling her eyes at him. But he's sitting in his kitchen with one of those Google devices, Google Home devices, yeah. asking Google to tell him jokes. Yeah. And he is just shaking with mirth, all, you know, 6'11" of him. He is so hilarious.
So unique. And he's Wisconsin's. All right, well, I guess I'm in the hot seat today, huh, Caleb?
Yes, we're going to play a game because it is coming up pretty soon, actually, college bowl game season. They're not all on January 1st. There's a lot coming up at the end of the month. And, of course, the Wisconsin Badgers are going to be playing in a bowl that I hadn't heard of before, the Guaranteed Rate Bowl,
I know, I've never heard of it either, which makes this contest challenging.
Yeah, and so we're going to play real or fake bowl game, as in college football bowl games, the end of season celebrations all across the country. So I'm going to name some college bowl games. Halvo will tell me if they are real or not. I think he's going to knock this one out of the park to mix my metaphors between football and baseball.
We'll see. We'll see.
All right. The Lending Tree Bowl. Is that a real or fake bowl game? The Lending Tree Bowl.
Boy, you know what? It sure could be. It sure could be. And again, there's no way to just know this. I'm going to say that it's real.
You are absolutely correct.
All right, good. One for one.
Lending Tree Bowl. How about this one? The Huggies Diapers Bowl. Are they sponsoring a college football bowl game?
I have never heard of the Huggies Diaper Bowl, and I'm going to say it's fake.
You are correct. Okay. That is not. That is not a real bowl game, but you never know.
I know.
Never know, because these seem to change from year to year.
Right.
Who still has money? What companies have gone bankrupt, etc. How about the famous Idaho Potato Bowl? The famous Idaho Potato Bowl, real or fake college football bowl game?
Yeah, you know, that's tough, because I think there is a game in Idaho. I think it's real.
You think it's real? You are 3 for 3.
Yes.
He is cruising. All right, this one I know you know. The Pinstripe Bowl. Real or fake?
It's real.
You are absolutely right. Yeah. Yes.
The Badgers have played in that before.
Yeah, the Pinstripe Bowl. All right, 4 for 4, friends. He is going to go for perfection here with 4 left.
All right.
How about the United Letter Carriers of America Pepper Spray Bowl? The United Letter Carriers of America Pepper Spray Bowl, real or fake?
I think there is a Letter Carriers Bowl, but the pepper spray part seems odd sounding to me. But I think there is a Letter Carriers Bowl, so I'm going to say real.
You're going to say real? No. Drop one. Yeah, probably the pepper spray was the
added. There ought to be. Yeah, there ought to be.
All right, three more. He's only dropped one. 4 out of the first 5. Yeah. The Duke's Mayo Bowl. Mayo as in mayonnaise. The Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Boy,
real
crazy.
Or fake?
Yeah.
Duke's Mayo Bowl.
I'm going to say real.
You are absolutely correct. All right. Badgers have played in that one before.
Really?
And okay. I think there is something literally where they dump mayonnaise on somebody.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Which is the weirdest thing.
That is weird.
Two more. All right. Should I even ask you this one? The Sugar Bowl.
Of course. Real or fake?
Yeah, yes.
Real.
But I guess for people who don't follow college football the way we do, they're like, oh, Sugar Bowl? That seems... No.
Right.
It's a real. The Sugar Bowl. And then finally, one more real college football bowl game or not. The UPS-UPC Code Bowl.
Wow.
The UPS-UPC Code Bowl. Real or fake college football bowl game?
I have never heard of it, but certainly it's possible.
The UPS-UPC Code Bowl.
Even if I miss it, I'm still 75%. True. I'm going to say it's fake.
It is fake. It is fake.
7 out of 8.
Yes. Fantastic.
Whew, thank you.
Fantastic.
Very good.
Well done. There's a lot of pressure when we do these things and we quiz each other because we don't want to get anything wrong.
And you did a good job of keeping a straight face there.
I tried.
See if we can't make somebody smile with Tuesday trivia, huh?
5723-2555, 723-2555. We have not one, but 2 musical albums for you today. 1 with the Sounds of the Season, Mark Martel, the Silent Night EP, 7 phenomenal tracks on there. He has an amazing voice. Of course, you know him from down here for so many years. Mark Martel, a great vocalist. So that Christmas album, but also we had the pleasure of talking with Hope Darst the other day, and her album, Peace Be Still, could be yours as well. So we're going to give you both of those. If you can answer this question again, we're taking calls live on the air on the studio line, 715-723-2555. According to a survey, and where would we be on Tuesday Trivia without these surveys? Huh. According to a survey, 15% of us say this is our favorite place to hide money. 15% of us say this is our favorite place to hide money. Where do you hide money?
All right, they're ready to go. They're already answering. Good morning. You're on the Wib Wake Up Show. What's your guess?
Under the mattress.
Under the mattress. I almost think, and that's incorrect, but I almost think it's probably because more than 15% of people might do that. But not under the mattress. 15% of us say this is our favorite place to hide money. Please call back.
That certainly is a classic one that people have thought of through the years. Good morning.
How about in the sock drawer?
In the sock drawer. No, not in the sock drawer.
All right.
Good thought. We are finding, again, if we ever choose to burglar your house, I'm kidding. 15% of us say this is our favorite place to hide money. Where? Where is it?
What's your guess?
A closet.
Closet, not a closet.
All right, so we've got a few wrong answers already.
Yes, so not under the mattress, not in the sock drawer, not in a closet. 715-723-2555. 15% of people say this is our favorite place to hide money. Go ahead.
In the fridge or freezer?
In the fridge or freezer. I remember hearing that from people before, too, and I almost worry because so many things get left at the back of the freezer. If I would leave the money back there, too, I guess it'd be a nice surprise when I finally defrost the thing. No, not the freezer, but thank you. Please try again.
723-2555. What's your guess this morning? 15% of people hide money where?
Is it in the bathroom?
Is it in the bathroom? Next to all the cleaning supplies that don't get used. No, it's not in the bathroom.
Good morning. You're on the WIB Wake Up Show. What's your guess?
Shoebox.
Is it in a shoebox? Not in a shoebox. According to a survey, 15% of us say this is our favorite place to hide money.
All right. No hints so far. Good morning. What's your guess?
This is going to seem a little off the wall, but in your wallet.
In your wallet. Hide the money in your wallet. Maybe you're even hiding it from yourself. It is not in your wallet.
Good morning. What's your guess on the WIB Wake Up Show?
A cookie jar.
A cookie jar. According to a survey, do 15% of people say a cookie jar is their favorite place to hide money? No. Not the cookie jar. Try again.
Kind of a classic. It reminds me, actually, of this show that I like to watch, Kim's Convenience. My wife and I, big fans. And so they had hid money, and they somehow sold a used TV. And they're like, no. The dad's like, I hid money in there. So, good morning. And that's not the answer. Good morning. What's your guess?
I would say the attic.
The attic. Is it in the attic? Not in the attic. No. Again, 15% of us say this is our favorite place to hide money.
Good morning. What's your guess?
Good morning. Between the pages of a book.
Between the pages of a book. Good actually found books before with money in them. And then it's like, how do I give this back?
I know.
Not between the pages of a book. But
hi, what's your guess?
Is it a piggy bank?
Is it a piggy bank? No. It's not a piggy bank. No.
Good morning, WWIB.
In a wall.
In a wall. Mm. Not in a wall. But good guess. Good thought.
Hi, WWIB. What's your guess?
How about an old-fashioned, coffee can?
Oh, an old coffee can. Yeah, good guess. Good guess. Not what we're looking for, but yeah, I've seen that. Mm-hmm.
Are we going to drag this over?
I kind of want to drag it over because people are giving such great guesses.
All right, one last.
I do have a hint, though, but not yet.
Okay, let me see. Do I have anybody? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
What do you think?
Behind a picture.
Behind a picture. Mm. A lot of people put a safe, a wall safe behind a picture. Not behind a picture, no.
All right, one more.
One more, all right.
What's your guess?
In your shoe.
In your shoe. At the buzzer, she nails it.
Like in their shoe, like that they're wearing?
According to a survey, 15% of people say their favorite place to hide money is in their shoes.
We had people guessing sock drawer and shoebox.
That was going to be my guess. My tip is that it was really close. But yeah, go ahead. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's Amanda. I'm calling from Rice Lake.
Amanda from Rice Lake.
Way to go.
Do you want to tell people, have you ever hidden money in a shoe?
No, but what made me think of it is my grandma did. And I was like, I wonder if that's what it is.
Our dear grandmas. All right, Amanda, hang on the line. We'll let you know how to get these prizes. Yes, 15% of people. That doesn't mean the majority, Halvo. But 15% of people say, yeah, my favorite place to hide money, in my footwear.
This felt like Family Feud today.
Yes.
All right, so Shark Tank theme, not entrepreneurial, but still. Who's going to be the Time Person of the Year? This is always kind of interesting.
Absolutely. And so they released a list before the announcement tomorrow of the Time Person of the Year. They released a list of their top 10, their finalists.
Uh-huh. All right, let's go. In fact, Xi Jinping, the president of China, they've been having their problems over there, right?
Also, Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, is on this list.
We'll work through it and maybe talk about who we think. U.S. Supreme Court, again, you think about the decision regarding, you know, ultimately what overturned Roe versus Wade in late June.
Again, these 10 people have been selected as finalists for Time Magazine's Honor. Editor said the people on this list had the most influence on the world this year. Elon Musk, he was their person of the year last year. I didn't realize that.
Will you be a repeat winner? Mackenzie Scott, the ex-wife of Amazon founder Jeff Bezos.
Liz Cheney on this list as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was one of the Republicans on that January 6th committee. Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, reelected and thought to be maybe a tough competition for Trump pursuing the nomination for 2024 in the GOP.
Janet Yellen is on this list as well, the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Secretary of the Treasury. Iran protesters been making news.
And gun safety advocates rounds out the top 10. So again, Time Magazine says these 10 have had the most influence on the world this year. And then tomorrow, the announcement of who is the Time person of the year. Are we making our guesses about who this will be?
Let's talk about it.
I think it's going to be Zelensky. Mm-hmm. Again, he's been in the news all the time. Again, Ukraine has continued to withstand Russia's advances again and again. I think there's been a lot of attention, not just in the U.S., but worldwide toward Ukraine. And Zelensky's kind of been the figurehead of that Ukrainian resistance. And so that would be my guess.
I think it's a great one. When I first looked at it, another name stood out to me. But, you know, let's just talk about it a little bit. I mean, I think the U.S. Supreme Court is a possibility because of that landmark decision that was made.
The Dobbs case, yes.
I think you look at other particular, I guess they could go international with the Iran protesters. That's a possibility. But and
I kind of doubt that Elon Musk is going to get it 2 years in a row.
I don't think so.
Although he's really, really in the public eye.
It's this year he bought Twitter. And so, you know, he won it last year. But maybe, I don't know when the bidding started on all that.
Yeah.
I mean, in the end, I'm going to agree with you that it's going to be Zelensky. But again, there were a number of other names that maybe had jumped out to
me. I think Ron DeSantis is a little bit of a dark horse. Again, he's kind of a rising star, conservative politician, governor of Florida. Of course, the disaster response and things like that, too. I think that's more of a dark horse. But yeah, I think Zelensky. That's
okay, so we're both going to agree on Zelensky. But if my second choice would actually be the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah. I think I'm with you there. I don't think I can disagree with that.
All right. Giannis, the Bucks MVP, led him to a title. Hopefully he does it again in 2023. He's 28 today, and it's capping off MVP week with Aaron Rodgers turning 39. Christian Yelich of the Brewers turned 31 yesterday. So how about another dad joke from Giannis?
Okay. Why did the orange lose the race?
Why did the orange lose the race? Are we ready? Here we go.
Nobody gonna ask why. Somebody gonna say why. He ran out of juice.
Boy. The Whip Wake Up Show. Caleb and Havo with you on WWIB. And I don't remember if this was like a week or two ago, Havo, but Merriam-Webster came out with their word of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not based on what they thought should be the word of the year, but just based on the number of times people looked this up. So more like, what word gets used all the time, but no one really knows what it means, and then they look it up? And so their word was gaslighting.
Right.
But now there's the Oxford Dictionary.
Right. And they have announced, I'd never heard, goblin mode as its word of the year for this year, chosen by public vote.
So that's a little bit different methodology, public vote, goblin mode, the 2022 word of the year for Oxford Dictionaries. Zero idea. And for one thing, initially, I raised the clamor and cry, that is two words. It's not hyphenated. So how is it the word of the year?
I don't know. But I had to ask you what it means. What does it mean?
So goblin mode, I had to look this up. The phrase is defined as a type of behavior which is unapologetically self-indulgent. Yikes. Also lazy, slovenly, or greedy. The phrase, I'm not going to call it a word. The phrase goblin mode gained popularity in 2022 as people emerged from pandemic lockdowns. Apparently much the worse for the wear.
So
goblin mode.
They emerged having kind of lapsed into this state of being.
Maybe it just brought out what was already inside, right? So
Wow. All right.
So if you're saying something is going goblin mode, it sounds sort of like how you might describe a toddler, but I guess this is adult behavior.
Yeah, look
where
out.
They're just kind of like, nope, everything's about me. Let's try and shift that focus, especially here around Christmas.
Yes, for sure. Hey, Giannis of the Bucks turning 28 today, so we've been sharing some Giannis dad jokes. We've got another one.
When the cows go out, where do they go? Anybody know? To the movies.
Oh, he's so good. I mean, it just is so wholesome and fun.
Thanks, Giannis.